Thank you. Good day, friends. We again come to you, and we've been following through in our last few lessons the instructions of our Savior to his own. Having been rejected by the nation of Israel, both by the leaders and the people, our Lord turns and begins to teach his disciples concerning certain truths. He's taking up the question about our responsibility to governments, our humility, which is great in the kingdom of God, question of offenses and forgiveness, marriage and divorce, question of children. And our last lesson we were dealing with the question of eternal life. And I'm going to reread this passage again and then remind you of another passage with respect to this matter of eternal life. I feel very keenly that so many people have missed out on this question of eternal life. We've got so many distorted ideas. Men have come along with their doctrines and with their philosophies so that people are confused as to how to receive eternal life. I am sure that everyone who is listening in today wants eternal life. There's no question every one of us have to face physical death. If the Lord tarries, we live so many years and we die, irrespective of who we are or what we are. And there's no question about this. Man tries to keep off the terrible enemy called death. But nevertheless, men die. They may be the most brilliant people on the earth, or the most wealthy people on the earth, or the greatest moralist on the earth, or religionist, but they all die. Then what? Then what? So the great desire of our hearts is that we want life eternal. We want to have a guaranteed hope for the future. And I'm not surprised then when our Lord was upon earth, a young man came to him and he said, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And you remember Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good?" Intrinsically good. This is the word he used, agathos, meaning intrinsically good. Only one can qualify for that, and that is God. But you know the commandments. Then he asked the man concerning his responsibility to society. As we read here, if you want life, thou shalt do no murder, you'll not commit adultery, you'll not steal, you'll not bear false witness, you honor your father and your mother, and you love your neighbor as yourself. He said, "All these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet?" And Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go and sell that what you have and give to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me." And the young man heard that saying. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 19. Now, I said, and I'm going to repeat what I said in our last lesson. This man, when he asked the question, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" It's a good question. And yet he manifested ignorance on how to get life, and he manifests ignorance of his own condition. This is always true, especially of moralists, religionists. Their eyes are never open to their own condition. I didn't say anything all about the other. Life can only come, his ignorance on how to receive life, because all of us know that life can only come through relationship. Now, we accept that concerning human life. Well, when it comes to spiritual life, then we dodge the issue. My friend, there can't be no spiritual life, there can't be no eternal life, except one is brought into right relationship with God himself. And Jesus said, "I am the way to the Father." Now notice this question. This man thought he was very, very, very good. "I've kept all these things since my youth up." My, what a wonderful fellow this fellow was. I'm sure that the mothers of the day would hold this boy up, this young man up, as an example of what their boys are to be. He was a moralist. He was a good man, as the standards of men go. But he had an idol, and the wealth was his idol. As I said, and I repeat it, the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, is divided into two things: our relationship to God, our relationship to man. This boy declared that he had kept his relationship to man, and the Lord didn't question him on that. But what about the next one? What about your relationship to God? You have an idol. And this boy did not receive eternal life because he would not give up his idol. I want to say here, just in passing, nobody that I know of has ever received eternal life by keeping the law. You see, the law of Moses, the law of the Ten Commandments, was given not to give you life. It was given to show you how bad you were. The law was given to make sin exceeding sinful. The law is the strength of sin. The law is administration of death. The law is not of faith. It was not given to save people. It was given to show us just what kind of folk we are. Our need of a Savior. As Paul could say in Galatians 3, the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And having come to Christ, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. We have a distorted idea about the purpose of the law. The law of Moses was given for one purpose, to show man his need of a Savior. Everybody in the Old Testament who was saved, or in the Gospel, or down through the centuries, anybody who's ever come into right relationship with God has always come on the ground of faith. Abraham believed God. Moses believed God. David believed God. You see, I want you to get this clear in your mind, that the law makes sin exceeding sinful. The law stirs up desire. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Now, I would like to suggest this, and I'm going to just stop here because of the importance of this question. This young man went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. And he did not accept the Savior because he would not, he had his idol. He wouldn't give up his idol. Now, in the Gospel through Luke chapter 10, there's another story about a lawyer who came to Jesus Christ and asked the same question. But the Lord gave him a different answer. You remember in Luke chapter 10, a lawyer stood up and said to Jesus, "What must I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Now, this man, if I can get the background here, sinners need a Savior. But what must I do? Of course, these fellows down in the gutter, these publicans and sinners, they need a Savior. They don't have any good. But what about me? I'm a lawyer. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And the Lord says, "Well, you're a lawyer. What does the law say?" And his answer was, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said, "Okay, that's right. This do, and thou shalt live." And the man, willing to justify himself, said, "But who is my neighbor?" And then the Lord told him the story of the Good Samaritan. Oh, the Jews despised the Samaritans. And Jesus was saying, the Samaritan is your neighbor. Now, in this passage in Matthew chapter 19, and in Mark chapter 10, the young ruler who came, his problem was not his neighbor. His problem was God. And with the lawyer, our Lord turned the tables on the lawyer and said, "What about your responsibility to your neighbor?" And in both cases, or should I put it this way, we do not have any intimation that either the young man or that the lawyer turned to Jesus Christ. I want to say, friend, today, if you want eternal life, you must come into relationship with God. And I repeat the statement, life can only come through relationship. Allow me to give you just one or two verses from John's Gospel in chapter 1 and then go on. In John 1, 12 and 13 it says, "To as many as received him," that is Jesus Christ, "to them he gives the right, the authority, the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but who are born of God." That's why Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 5, 3 and 5 of chapter 3, when Jesus said to Nicodemus, You must be born from above. You must be born again. He did not say that to the sinful Samaritan woman. She didn't have to be told she was born wrong. But to this man Nicodemus, a ruler in Israel, a rabbi in Israel, teacher in Israel, Nicodemus, you're born wrong. You've got to be born from above. How can a man be born when he's old and so on? Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he can't see the kingdom of God. And John 3:16 is the answer to Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, to the woman of Samaria, in chapter 4 of John, I say she didn't need to be told how bad she was. She knew it. What she needed was a revelation of God. And so Jesus said to her, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, for God is seeking worshipers. What she needed was a revelation of God. What Nicodemus the ruler needed was a revelation of himself, that he was born wrong. Likewise, in these two folks who came to Jesus, this rich young ruler, he needed to be told his relationship to God, whereas the lawyer in Luke 10, he needed to be told his relationship to his neighbor. In all cases, they needed a Savior. Whereas the rich young ruler, or the lawyer, or Nicodemus, or the woman at the well, they all needed a Savior. And it was to the sinful woman that Jesus said, if you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I'll give you, you'll never thirst. It'll be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. No wonder she said, sir, give me this water. Ah, that's what I want. That's what I want, this water that springs up into eternal life. Now listen, friend. What Nicodemus was a revelation of his own heart. What the woman needed was a revelation of God in his grace, in the desire of his heart to seek those who really meant business. God is seeking worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, I know I've digressed on this, but I wanted to bring this truth to your heart using these different passages on the one thing. What must I do that I may inherit eternal life? And I was quoting from Matthew chapter 19, Mark chapter 10, and Luke chapter 10, and then I quoted from John chapter 3 and John chapter 4. These different personalities all wanted the same thing. Whether you're rich or poor, bond or free, whatever your circumstances, every one of us, right down in our hearts, we want to live forever. You know, the psalmist said that in the 49th Psalm. He said, no man can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for he knows that his soul is precious, and he may live forever. You can't do a thing, my friend, to merit eternal life. You cannot do a thing to merit salvation. You cannot do a thing to merit anything from God. You must come as a sinner and receive God's divine provision for your need in Jesus Christ. That's why he could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. For there is no other name given under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to make that very, very clear to you. Now, one, there's real reaction to this. So shall we go on back to our study now in Matthew 23-26. Then said Jesus to his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Now that's the clincher, isn't it? I've already talked to this point, the impossibility of a person being saved apart from Jesus Christ, that man can't do anything to save himself. God has provided the salvation. He's provided the Savior. And the disciples were amazed. Now, why were they amazed? Because, to the Jewish mind, riches, when a person was wealthy, it was a sign of the blessing of God upon them. So when Jesus said, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, he didn't say that he couldn't enter into. They're not barred from getting saved, whether you're rich or poor. But how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because for the most part, rich people are occupied with their riches, and the Lord is pushed to one side. In fact, he said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, it may be the Lord had in mind the gate where the camel can get through the needle gate, which was only for a person to squeeze through, and the camel couldn't go through it. Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed. Well, if a man who's under the blessing of God can't be saved, who can be saved? And Jesus said, with men, this is impossible. The impossibility of a man or a woman saving themselves. But with God, all things are possible. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Isn't it marvelous that God has made the provision whereby you and I can have eternal life? My friend, listen. Let me again quote from Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the way thereof are the ways of death. Every way of man is the way of death. And again, may I remind you, and I've said this so often, but I wanted to get back to it, the resurrection, when God raised his Son from the dead, God was telling the human race, telling you, telling me, I will accept no other Savior than this Jesus of Nazareth, whom he raised from the dead. This is my Son. This is my only begotten Son. This is the one who put away your sin. This is God's way of redemption. There is no other way. You see, my Mr. Mitchell, you're very, very narrow. I'll accept that. Jesus said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. And Jesus said, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. To as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God. Oh, listen, friend, why don't you accept the Savior today? Stop your deadly doing and all your deadly promising, and just simply, by simple faith, take Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And I'll tell you, my friend, when you do that and you mean business, you'll pass from death to life. You'll enjoy real forgiveness, and you become the recipient of eternal life. It can be yours today. For now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation.